0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Cullum O'Mungine here. Call us 0818 715 815. WhatsApp 087 1843709. Email joe at rte.ie or text us on 51551. Becky Furlong, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What is Shein?
Oh, Shein is a lifesaver for me anyway. It's an online shop that has kids' clothes, adults' clothes, household items, gadgets and gizmos. I kind of use it for everything, to be honest.
Right, what's the last thing you bought on it?
Yesterday I ordered outdoor cushion covers for my garden. Waterproof outdoor cushion covers.
Right, so that's...
Not very exciting.
For patio and garden furniture, but...
Yeah.
What else, where have you found it in particular a lifesaver?
Well, probably the biggest things I've been buying lately was holiday clothes and summer clothes for me and the kids. We went away recently, so I was able to pack their suitcases while shopping online from home. And it was really cost effective as well.
All right. Well, how many of you are there? Walk us through the list of what you had to buy there.
Well, so there's myself, my 14-year-old daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, and my 8-year-old son. So we were able to get everything on it. I was able to get some really cute matching outfits for them. The little one wants to match with me and her sister, so we were able to get, you know, mammy dresses and the little girl's dress to match and stuff like that. Matching bikinis, the whole lot.
Right. And how long have you been shopping on Shein?
I'm probably using Shein probably the last year, maybe 2 years, I'd say. But probably more so now because the kids are that bit older and they're more demanding. They want certain things. And if we were going to an event, I can just go on, get little dresses and outfits for as little as €15 sometimes.
And how quick is the delivery?
Last year it used to take 2 or 3 weeks, and I've noticed lately the orders have probably come within a week for me. So it's brilliant.
So what would have happened before this? I mean, if you wanted to take your youngest kid out, your teenager and yourself, and go around the shops and buy all of this stuff from the high street retailer, how long would it have taken, and, you know, how much shopping would have been required?
Well, to be honest, I would have had to take them all separately. So there would have been 3 trips. It would have cost me, I'd say, triple, if not more, the price. And I find with kids, the clothes get destroyed anyway, you know. So you're paying high prices and they're still staining and you're getting grubby, and you kind of only get 1 or 2 wears out of things anyway with them.
Right.
So now if I want to go to an event, or if we have a family gathering or something that I know is coming up, we sit down, they pick the outfits that they want. They love shopping with me and putting the stuff in the basket. I order it and within a week it's there, ready to go.
And is the delivery free depending on the size of your order, or is it free anyway?
Normally if you go over a certain amount of money, you get free delivery. If you shop regular with them, you get coupons and vouchers off of them. So not only is it already cheap, you then put in your vouchers and stuff, and you get more money off then again.
All right. Well,
so I could realistically, if it was for me and the 3 kids and we were going to an event, I could probably clothe us all for under €50, to be honest.
And what do you say you were going to a dress up event and you wanted somewhere between, you know, a semi formal dress for yourself? How much are you talking for something the like of that?
Now that you mention it, I literally was looking yesterday because I have a family wedding coming up in a few weeks' time, and I went on and I found beautiful dresses for, I think, €25 is probably the most expensive.
And what do you do with the clothes? I mean, when you're finished with it, some people are of the view you can't wear the same outfit twice to family occasions or whatever else. Have you ever recycled the clothes? Do you keep them? Do you dispose of them? Do you pass them on to somewhere else? Somebody else?
Yeah, no, I always pass them on to someone else. When the kids go out with their clothes, they get passed on to someone else. Same with me, maybe I might have a sister or a friend that's going to something, I'd pass on the dress to them. No, to be honest, I would rewear the same thing. I would, if I was going to something. I'd wait a few months and rewear it somewhere. But I would always pass on the clothes then as well. I do believe in recycling stuff.
Right. So had you heard of any of the Simon Coveney, the Minister for Enterprise, was cutting the ribbon on a pop-up shop in Cork? This has been opened by Shein, and they're also opening their new headquarters for Europe, the Middle East and Africa in Ireland. And it attracted some criticism from Barry Andrews, who's a member of the European Parliament from Fianna Fáil, who says that Shein is fast fashion and also has not answered questions to his satisfaction about how their clothes are made. Did you know any of this, that there was any kind of a controversy about fast fashion or Shein before this?
I didn't really know anything about it until I had seen some stuff online today, actually, about it. Myself, to be honest, I always really just focused on the fact that I was able to get the clothes cheap for me and the kids, you know, that kind of way. I hadn't really looked into it too much myself about it.
Right, but I mean, on foot of reading any of that, does it make you any more able to make different choices, or are you happy enough still shopping on Shein?
I know it might sound morally wrong, but to be honest, I have to look after me and my family, and it probably wouldn't stop me shopping with them, if I'm honest. I know it doesn't sound morally correct, but at the end of the day, with the cost of living these days, my kids still need clothes.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Well, it wouldn't really deter me, to be honest.
Okay, well, Eamon Ryan, we got a statement from the Department of Transport on behalf of Eamon Ryan, and he was saying that that's the world, needs to focus instead on ensuring that the entire business model of fashion changes radically, and wasn't specifically talking about Shein when he was referring to fast fashion. He's saying that all of the fashion industry needs to change and become more sustainable. Mary Fleming, what's your journey been when it comes to fast fashion and where they are today?
Hi, thanks for having me. I run a community-based swap shop here in Crumlin in Dublin. And, of course, I totally understand that people will use what's affordable and accessible. I think people look at sustainable options and say, oh, that's just out of my price range and is completely inconvenient for me. So with Change Clothes Crumlin, we just got set up last October with a little bit of funding from Creative Ireland, and we're trying to make sustainable clothing both affordable and accessible through our monthly clothing swaps. And if you pay a fiver with us, you can swap your entire wardrobe with us. So you can swap as many items as you like and get items back for them. We just ask that the clothes are in good to new condition and, you know, have no holes, stains or tears.
And what kind of clothes are you talking about? So what kind of clothes do you stock? When you say swapping your entire wardrobe, are you talking everything from coats to trousers to anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. Occasion wear as well. Kids wear, men's, women's, everything in between.
Right, but when it comes to the likes of swimwear and stuff that's more next to the skin, it might be more difficult to provide that, would it?
Yeah, 100%. I guess we don't have, you know, the solution for things like underwear, swimwear and nightwear. That's kind of something we need to think about further. But for all the kind of day-to-day stuff, we can cover that. And our goal is to have a swap shop, you know, that's open 7 days a week. So we're just saving up for that. And I think if something like Change Clothes was available in every area, you know, we'd be able to have a great solution we could roll out to ultra fast fashion. And it is kind of disheartening because we are a community enterprise and we don't receive any funding at the moment. And then you see, like, as you mentioned, the launch of Shein's HQ in Dublin being heavily supported by government. And we did have the Circular Economy Act launched here last summer, but we're not seeing funding being distributed at community level to come up with solutions that are, you know, affordable and sustainable. And create jobs as well. Like, I don't think jobs have to be created at the expense of slave labour and climate change. But, you know, alternative options do have to be supported. And I don't think it's up to individuals to change when there's no viable, affordable and sustainable options really available. Or they're just not funded. You know, they do exist, but we don't have the money to expand or to promote what we are doing.
Maria, what's Shein to you in terms of a shopping venue?
I love it.
And what kind of stuff do you buy on it?
Jeans, dresses, swimwear, everything.
Right, and are you buying for? Are you similar to Becky, who we heard from there earlier? Are you buying for a family?
No, it's
on
just
it?
For yes. No, it's just for me.
Okay. Well, what? How did you come across it, and what was it that first attracted you? Was it the price?
The price, definitely the price.
So you just were searching online for clothing, and
yes.
This popped up as the most competitive price.
Affordable, and the clothes are lovely. They're really good quality, I think. Anyway. And I see young children going around in them, and they look amazing. So.
And how long have you been shopping on it?
About 2 years.
And what are your options in terms of, you know, if issues around fast fashion or that, where to inform your... No, this is the price range you can afford to shop in, is it?
Yeah, yes, definitely.
And do you find it much cheaper than high street stores, the big...
Yes, definitely. Oh, God, yes. A lot cheaper.
And how important is it, you know, to buy new clothes and restore
very, very
your wardrobe?
Important. It's very important to people on lower wages. And even people that are not, that are on good salaries, they're wearing it. Because you do know. It stands out, I think, anyway.
So when you're when you're walking down the street or you're out and about shopping,
you
spot it, do you?
Yeah.
How do you know it?
Oh, it's just, it looks really classy. And you know their wages aren't as high as big business people and people working in big offices, you know. And they just look amazing. They really do. And the colours, everything. I mean, go into Dunn's stores and look at a jacket, the price. I mean, it's crazy, the price of it. And since this cost of living has gone up, it's absolutely madness. There's no way people can afford a price of clothes. And if they have children, it has to be the best.
How do you mean?
Well, the cost for dress-out children is very reasonable.
And how often would you...
Even pennies are amazing.
And how important is it in terms of, I mean, do you think people just enjoy the boost of shopping online? Do you think, you know, they buy the bare minimum, or do you think they're shopping as the hobby of shopping? Which is it, do you think?
I think it's the cost. And affordable, like, try pay bills and keep children dressed. Children want to look well, they want to, and they will always look amazing in sheen clothing. So that's...
And what kind of wear do you get out of the clothes?
Well, it's good enough for me. I get long enough out of it for what I need it. And then I pass it on. So it's not that it's going in the bins or someone else will use it.
And Becky, how long do you get out of clothes you've bought on it? What's the longest you've held on to an outfit, and how many wears have you got out of it, would you say? I mean, roughly.
Well, I suppose... Thinking, actually, when I originally started shopping with Shein, the reason that I originally shopped with them is because I needed plus-size clothing, and I found it really expensive to buy plus-size clothing anywhere. So I found out about Shein, and they done an amazing plus-size range, absolutely fabulous, at a fraction of the cost. So thankfully, I've got healthier, and I'm no longer plus-size. I've lost a lot of weight. So I was able to pass on... a full wardrobe, you know, to friends and family and stuff, and they're still wearing those clothes. So you're talking clothes that I bought two and a half years ago, and my friends and family are still wearing them, so they're still going strong. It's not that they're being binned or that they rip or that they fall apart. They're being reused and they're lasting. Like, I would be very hard wearing on my clothes, I suppose. I'm a busy mammy. I'm wiping my hands down my trousers and stuff. Everything gets thrown into the machine all together, and everything gets washed, and the clothes are still holding the shape. They're still holding the quality. A lot more than some other retail stores that you wash things once and they shrink. I've never had anything, I think, from Shein that...
had fallen apart,
all right,
or had gone misshaped or anything like that. So the clothing is, it's you're in good enough condition that it can be passed on.
You're happy with it anyway. Aveen,
yeah,
McCann, have you ever shopped on Shein?
Hello, thanks for having me. No, I haven't. I have, for the last 2 years, managed to not buy new clothes from High Street or online. But that's actually easy for me to say because I'm not a working mother trying to look after my kids, and I can hear. And I'm one of 8 kids, so I grew up with a busy house, and I know how much pressure from watching my own parents try to feed and clothe us in the 90s, never mind now. It's a lot of pressure on families to feed and clothe their families, even more now than it has been in the last, I don't know, there's probably some data on us in the last 10 years, but it's been interesting hearing like why people buy clothes there, and it's completely understandable. So there's no way I can argue with anyone saying I need to feed and clothe my family.
No, but I suppose people would be interested in why you made the choice you made not to buy new clothes. So what brought you to that place? What raised that level of concern about buying new clothes for you?
Well, for example, with Shein in particular, like they pay their workers 4 cents an hour, and some of their workers work for at least 18-hour days. So those people's quality of life, never mind the toxins that they're inhaling, because Shein has been discovered to have, there's been toxins found in their clothes that have been shipped to countries beyond China, people wearing them. So it's a particularly dangerous brand in that respect. That makes it easier to not buy it there. But you will find it in the ways I buy clothes, or I buy them on Depop.
Shein, for their part, says that their technology is environmentally conscious, that their fabric printing process produces a fraction of the pollution of it. Their warehouses and logistics use solar-powered vehicles to get around the factory.
Fortunately, though, Shein's getting a great bit of airing today, get some promotion. But actually, if everyone in Ireland, fortunately, can watch Channel 4 on demand, and if they want to watch the untold inside the Shein machine, there's a lot of information there about how Shein actually functions. They can make up to 35,000 to 100,000 units per day. So, I mean, some days they make 100,000 things that get shipped out. And we tend to buy quite a lot that we wear once, and sometimes people don't wear them at all. So Shein creates a huge amount every day, and inevitably a lot of that ends up in landfill, despite all of your listeners doing.
Shein, for their part, say they produce only 50 to 100 pieces per new project. They say their business, and I think their head of sustainability told the Wall Street Journal last year that they make 50 to 100 pieces, they see where the demand goes, and then they ramp up production in response to the demand rather than the mass production model that others would engage in to stock shops.
As your listener, Mary, I think Mary from Change Clothes, pointed out, like, they're an ultra-fast fashion brand, so they don't just make fashion fast, they make it at an incredible rate, meaning that despite that lovely sentence of 50 to 100 pieces, the truth is that will turn into tens of thousands of pieces per day. So despite how great that sounds for their PR, it is, in fact, a different reality. So, I mean, Shein, bless them, they can try all they want, but it is actually, they do damage, you know.
Right.
But again, I'm not taking it from the fact that the government probably do need to address the fact that families need to spend a certain amount every year on fashion, and it's up to them to label and be clear about what Shein is or brands like it, and to promote them the way they have done this week is very dangerous for
Your issue is with the ribbon cutting, is it, by a government minister on a Shein facility in Cork?
Well, it's not. I don't go around worried about it, but I'm certainly not. I don't think it helps the work that people are trying to do, like to create a much more sustainable way of living. It's glossing over the fact that a government minister, Eamon Ryan, has talked about how fast fashion will be something we look back on with shame, and yet they cut the ribbon, you know, to say this is grand. And 30 jobs are being created in Ireland. In Ireland, and the reason they're here is the reason why a lot of big companies are here is because they're getting a tax break, which is fair enough from a business perspective. But the fact is, it's a great opportunity to talk about the damage these companies are doing and how much help families need to get by. If that's the budget we have, there's so many parts of the way we live in Ireland that need to be addressed. But what I do in my own life is I try to buy secondhand, like a lot of people I know, and it's a difficult process. There are families I know who do that, but it isn't easy, and it takes a lot of time sometimes if you're not used to it yet. And sometimes things that, like the change clothes in Crumlin that Mary's run in, sounds amazing. It means that not only can you give your clothes to a family member, but you could possibly swap clothes. So you get that fresh feeling, that creative feeling when you're going to a new event. Like I think it was Becky who was saying that when she goes to an event, it's a great way to clothe her family.
And both Becky and Marie have said that, you know, in each of their cases, they've passed these clothes on to, with, if not through a swap shop, but at least to other family members.
Yeah, I don't know if they said swap shop, but I definitely know that people are great at doing that these days, like passing clothes on. And it's not a big deal if you're wearing someone else's clothes, but it's about addressing the fact that we're creating tons and tons and tons of waste every year. And it's not down to the individual. Right. Like, you know, Marie and Becky are not trying to do that. I know that. And none of us are. We can't live.
Let's ask Maria, is there an option for you to buy the clothes you need to buy on a secondhand basis anywhere near you? Is that an option you'd be attracted to?
No, I wouldn't be attracted to it. And I wouldn't, there are loads of shops, but I like something new. I work, and I think I can pay for something new, and I think I deserve something new. I just don't like secondhand clothes. I'm sorry. I couldn't wear them.
And do you pass your clothes on to secondhand shops, or do you just do it within the family?
Yes, no, I do. I do pass them all on, but I just couldn't wear secondhand. I just can't.
Right, not just
around the shops. No, it's not just. I have a thing about secondhand clothes.
Right, and the
I never had to. In my mother's poorest day, she never put secondhand clothes on us.
Not even hand-me-downs from within the family.
Yeah, my sisters and brothers, but not from strangers. She never went out and got strangers' clothes and put them on us. I never remember putting secondhand. Yeah, my sister's clothes, yes, but. And I go into secondhand shops, but. And I see loads of people, but I just can't do it.
What is it about that? Why isn't it for you? What's the barrier?
If the clothes were cleaned, if they were freshly cleaned, if they charged more and they were freshly cleaned and they were more organised, maybe, yeah. But I just go in and there's. The clothes are everywhere and they're not freshly cleaned and. Oh, I just have a thing. I know you can bring it home and wash it, but I just have this thing about secondhand clothes. I don't wear them.
All right. Christina Murphy, you're on the opposite end of things. Secondhand clothes are what you go for.
Yes, absolutely. Like 90%, if not more, of the time. And for my two daughters, too. And I don't mean to insult anyone, but I'm actually shaking at the thought that it's, like, if anyone was judging me because they thought I was poor, or because that's definitely not the case. And it doesn't, just from the last person's point, that it's such a privileged way of thinking, to think that I've never had to wear, you know, secondhand before. And we really, really need to change
that
mindset.
That's not privilege. If the clothes were freshly cleaned and organised, I wouldn't go into it. I just pay extra when I wash it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you can pay extra to dry clean it. You know, it's such a great way to.
Not at all. You're juggling there, Christina. But just in terms of kitting out kids and yourself. I mean, do you have the choice you're looking for when you're shopping in secondhand clothes shops?
Absolutely. Now, I don't really shop for myself as much because I really use what I have. But I've got great sister-in-laws to pass on their clothes, and when I see something in the charity shop, I use it a lot. And I pass, you know, my winter, my summer, and I, you know, transition, pack away everything, and it's like new again for me. But my daughters, especially, because you know kids grow out of clothes so quickly, there is. Oh, I can't even explain how much clothes is out there. Like, and it's free. It's nothing to do with, you know, Shein's so cheap and it's so affordable. It's really not. It costs the world, and these clothes are free, and my daughter gets complimented on her clothes all the time.
And it's an environmental concern for you there. You said, you know, it comes at a cost to the world. You're talking about the cost, is it, of dumping clothes and the water consumption of manufacturing fashion and the like?
Absolutely, it's that. And my daughter, my children growing up and getting rid of that old mindset of I need to buy new. And also that they learn that whole, you know, sharing. So even their toys are secondhand. They give their toys. I let them know the boys and girls give you that dress. Do you love it? And, you know, when people compliment her on her clothes, like, I can't express enough how important it is to really get rid of this mindset of
So when you do have to buy new clothes, I mean, what do you have to buy new? And without naming the shops, but generically speaking, where do you buy it?
I suppose if you're, I suppose someone has pointed out before, underwear is the main thing. M&S is mainly the main place I would buy underwear and the like. Sorry, I'm naming things. Sorry, but yes, underwear.
And what about stuff like shoes, wellies, coats, that kind of thing? Can you still source them secondhand?
Oh, absolutely. There's an app. I don't know if you can mention it, but it's got everything that you need. You type it in and it's most likely off there.
All right. What's it called?
Advert. I get everything on Advert. It's brilliant.
And as far as you're concerned, when you go into a secondhand shop, do you have the same concerns as Maria we heard from there, just about whether or not the clothes have been dry cleaned or laundered to your liking? I mean, I know most charity shops or secondhand shops ask people when they're submitting stuff to clean them thoroughly or even dry clean them before they put them in.
No, it's not, because I know that I'm going to, you know, clean it as well myself. So then I know it's just like all my other clothes. You know, it absolutely makes no difference whatsoever. And if you're very concerned, there's great dry cleaners out there and it could be as good as new. But I, you know, upcycle furniture, buy secondhand toys, secondhand clothes, and you get such a thrill as well. There's such a buzz with it too, that it costs you absolutely nothing and it's yours if you upcycle it. And it has a story, you know. It's not, you know, just new. It's lived more longer than a new piece of clothing.
All right, Maria, are you convinced?
No, of course. I do admire people that do, but no, I'm sorry, I just can't. I must be a phobia I have. I don't know, but I just can't. It just doesn't feel right.
All right. Well, if there's anybody else who has another way of sourcing their clothes apart from new, or indeed if anybody insists on buying new, like Maria and Becky, who we've heard from already, call us 0818715815, WhatsApp 0871843709, joe@rte.ie for your emails, and text us on 51551. We're back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818715815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Cullum O'Mungine here, 51551 for your text, or email joe@rte.ie. Luke, can you see the attraction of buying new clothes?
Hi, Colm. Yeah, I absolutely can. I think, you know, the conversation that's being had around new versus used clothes is admirable in terms of trying to stop the kind of practices of fast fashion. But in regards to the practicalities of a lived life, I just kind of feel like you're gonna find it very difficult when you're poor to see the appeal in buying used clothes or getting used clothes, because, you know, there is something special about buying something new.
Just explain that from the point of view of, you know, where people stand income wise as a family. Why is new more important to people who are poor from your point of view?
Yeah, so I guess I grew up as, you know, we were working poor, or looking back on it, probably just poor, dirt poor maybe even. And one of the most exciting times for us in the year was when we got our new school clothes, and that happened once a year. And that was important for us because that was when we got our new clothes that would then be worn throughout the year and, you know, torn up and, you know, abused throughout the years you are with kids. And so there was something nice about getting something new, because when you're so poor like that, you know, you don't get new things. You don't get new cars. You don't get new, you know, TVs. You don't get new furniture. You don't get new anything. All of that expensive stuff is handed down. So things that are more affordable, like clothes, and now obviously with fast fashion, it's very affordable. Getting something new like that has a significant mental, positive mental impact for people who are in those positions. So I feel like it's admirable, morally and ethically, that people would want to buy used or trade clothes and things like that. But I think it's very much a privilege of middle class and rich people, or people who are in those positions who have money and disposable income to be able to do that. Because the people who are poor, they don't have that ability to go and buy that TV or that new car or that lawnmower or whatever. And those new clothes are going to have a significant positive effect for them.
And just from the point of view of what you're talking about there, buying new clothes and new clothes for school, I take it you didn't grow up in an area where a school uniform was required. You're talking about normal casual clothes, which you then wore to school.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the case, because I'm American. But even I have three kids. I've lived here for 15 years. And anybody who has kids and goes to school in Ireland, it costs more here to clothe those kids than it did when my parents clothed me, because, you know, there's nobody competing for uniform clothes. There's like one or two shops around the area you're going to buy from. They're going to charge you 50, 60, 100 quid for a piece of clothing that that kid's going to wear for school. So it's actually more expensive to clothe kids in uniforms than it is here than it is back in the States.
Right, even though that theoretically the reason behind uniforms, of course, is that everybody's on a more or less level playing field going to school. You find, based on your background growing up, coming from a poorer family in the United States, that it's harder on a limited income in Ireland if you had to buy uniforms.
Well, it is, absolutely. I mean, that's why we have those schemes, right? We have the schemes for to help people on low incomes to buy the school clothes, right? But from it does, for what it's worth, Colm, it does provide a level playing field, and I'm actually 100% behind uniforms, even if they cost more, because it provides a level playing field. You don't go in and have to, you know, when I went to school, you would know who the rich kids were, and you knew who the poor kids were, because regardless of those new clothing, right, the rich kids, they had the fashion brands, and you had M&S or Dunn's or Penny's, right? Whereas over here, the interesting dichotomy with that is that Penny's is a huge thing, right? My daughter, who's 14 now, she goes to Penny's all the time, buys clothes, she loves it, right? And so it's a big thing, but, you know, that wouldn't be that way in the States. But the idea here, you know, your researcher asked me, he said, do you not think that, you know, going around in used or previously worn clothing would be a status deterrent, right? So, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be seeing it. But nobody looks at it that way anymore, right? In fact, now, because of the way that the culture's gone, they see you walking around in, you know, used clothes, and they think, oh, that guy has got it. He's sorted. And they think positively of you, right? It's like that Macklemore song, you know, Thrift Shop. You know, they're all, it's like, oh, you went to the thrift shop and got that for 30 cents. Ah, fair play to you. Do you know what I mean?
And what's your own approach to buying clothes now? I mean, you come from, as you say, a less well-off background where getting new clothes was a novelty and a great source of joy for you at the beginning of the school year. But now that you have children yourself and your circumstances have changed, what's your own approach to buying clothes?
Well, I'm probably a bit weird with that, Colin, right? Because I was working poor as well for a long time. I didn't start my business and join the middle class, so to speak, until probably about 5 years ago. So a lot of my clothes were simple clothes, hard-wearing clothes, jeans, T-shirts, that's it. I would get those. They were cheap. They were hard-wearing. That's what I would wear. And the same thing would kind of have with kids. So now, I mean, I will wear, and God help her, my wife will tell you, I will wear a shirt for 10, 20 years. I don't care if it costs me 5 quid.
Right. So your approach basically is almost the same as when you were a kid. You buy clothes you like new, and then you wear them till they fall off your back.
Yeah. Well, I'm also in a weird position because I'm a bigger guy. So for me, you know, I basically need to nearly shop over in the States because the sizes over here won't fit me. But that's another story altogether for my mind.
And do you buy online? Do you have to source these clothes online? And, you know, do you go for price as the determinant, or are you in a position at this stage where you buy what you like and are you guided by labels?
So I suppose I'm in the position that I understand, you know, as a business person, price is a function of a lot of things, but it's not necessarily a function of ripping off, right? A lot of times it's something's more expensive because it's a better quality, right? So I will buy clothes that are a bit more expensive new because I know they're going to be better quality. Like, I'll buy brands that I know are good quality. Like, I wouldn't buy Penny's even if they had my sizes because I don't find their clothes high quality, right? They won't last.
All right. You could understand why they disagree with that, but that's your take.
Sure. No, I'm not trying to disparage Penny's, in fairness. That's just my opinion.
All All right. Alacoque, this is what you study. This is what you do for a living, looking at clothes and fashion and sustainability. What's your take on what you've heard so far?
Yeah, I'm a lecturer in sustainable supply chain management at Technological University Dublin, and my research is on environmental and social issues in garment chains, in garment supply chains. And I suppose the first thing I want to note is that it is, well, in Europe alone, we throw away, I think, like just over 2 million tons of textiles each year. You know, it's huge. And it's the middle class that's propping up this industry, not, you know, the working class or those in work poverty or anything like that. It's the middle classes. And it's because these companies have, you know, through some very slick marketing, encouraged us to go out and kind of refresh our wardrobes weekly and created a need. And, you know, and with regards to recycling, most of these products cannot be recycled because of their makeup. The most used fabric in jeans clothing is polyester, which is fossil fuel based. So that, and there's some horrific statistics about the amount of oil that they're using in their products. And I think it's something, they say something like the CO, it releases so, or it's responsible for its CO2 emissions as 180 coal-fired power plants. And then when you take that clothing back, when people try to recycle it, it goes into the recycling bin, but only about 4% of it is can be recycled.
Right. Well, they say themselves that they do their best to source recycled fabric, including recycled polyester, which they describe as a non-virgin fiber that has little impact on the environment. What would you say to that?
So this is what Sheena are saying, that they're taking back.
That's what it says. Okay. That's what it says on their site for their purposes and they also say that, you know, they will.
Okay, so that's what they say on their website.
Exactly. That's why I'm relaying to you what they say about their own products.
I haven't looked into what they're doing in any great depth, but I think that with any data like that on sustainability or any kind of statements like that, you really have to dig a little bit deeper, go into their sustainability reports if they're publishing them, you know, because from what I know from my research on kind of closed loop supply chains, the technology to do that on any great level isn't available.
Right. Well, there's a group of US lawmakers from both parties in the US, Democrat and Republican, who before Sheen can launch on the US stock market in an initial public offering, as they call the launch of a company on a stock market, they want the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Wall Street watchdog, to look into a variety of issues they've raised, such as labour practices and sustainability and their supply chains and the like.
Okay, so they want them to look into it and then report. When they get a guarantee that that's okay, then they will do business with them?
Well, I'm not sure what the ultimate conclusion would be, but they want the Securities and Exchange Commission to make sure that it complies with the US. And here, the Eamon Ryan, who had the Minister for Environment and Transport, who'd raised the issue about fast fashion, in the statement he released to us said there's a textile advisory group at the moment chaired by Gwen Cunningham from the National College of Art and Design, which is drawing up proposals for, quote, how to tackle this, namely fast fashion. And Minister Ryan would expect that all fashion businesses in Ireland would also comply with proposals to make things not throw away or disposable and ending up costing more through disposal than it, you know, so that it would be recyclable and sustainable. What do you think that a group like that should be examining?
I think they should be examining, they should be examining the environmental issues, you know, what the garments are made up of. The fashion industry is reported to be the second most polluting industry in the world. It's producing 10% global carbon dioxide emissions every year. It also uses up a lot of our resources, in particular water.
20% of global wastewater comes from it. They reckon about 93 billion cubic metres of water per annum, which would provide water to 5 million people, according to research carried out for the Tony Blair Institute.
Yeah, okay. And then we have the chemical waste, the microplastics in our water systems. So I think, the ecological costs are extreme. Then I think we also need to have some due diligence in the supply chains to examine, are the people making these clothes being, working in healthy and safe environments and getting paid a living wage?
Maeve, what do you think of the people, whatever about people making the clothes, Maeve, what do you think about people buying the clothes?
Thanks for having me on. Really interesting debate. They're giving me new sides to it. But I do think that some of it's a cop-out, saying, oh, I just want. There was a lot of want, which made me quite angry, actually. And I think some of it was, I'm going to sound really bad when I say this, but it seemed a bit selfish. There was a lot of I want. I really think we need to start thinking a bit more community-based and a bit bigger than just ourselves, because, as we all know, the planet's we're in serious problems. And unless we start making some changes at an individual level, we're not going to get anywhere, and it's things we can affect now. So, like, that girl that buys all the stuff secondhand, I'm not 100% there, but I do try. I buy a lot of my stuff secondhand. Like, for example, I'm here wearing a jumper that's secondhand and a pair of jeans. I'd say they're 15 years old, and every time I get a new hold in them, I just get them repaired. And it's a local lady repairs them for me. She puts another couple of stitches in it, which is beyond my capability. And my furniture in my house is secondhand. So I think saying that, it's easier and I don't have time and stuff, every local town has a secondhand shop, pretty much all of them do now. So it's just going in and pottering around and picking up something that you need. You don't need something new all the time. I think a lot
Colin, can I just jump in there real quick?
Sure, yeah, Luke, go on.
No, I was just going to say, because I think she makes a really, really good point with that, right? And it kind of ticked me off a little bit as well about the wants, but that's what made me think a bit more about that poor thing, right? So we didn't ask those women what their situations were, but my guess would be is that they probably aren't middle class, right? And I kind of would question about that middle class propping up the fast fashion industry part, because if you look at purchasing power, the poorer classes have significantly higher purchasing power than most middle and upper class. And I would argue, now obviously she's the expert, but I would argue that that might be something worth looking into when it comes to the government, because if they want to try and keep people from buying fast fashion stuff, then you need to make it unattractive to do so. Because if it's attractive, they're just going to keep doing it. So if you put a tax on new clothes and do a tax rebate off of old clothes, maybe take that off of old clothes, used clothes and stuff, so that you're going to have a swap in the market, right? But I don't think people are doing it because they're just like, oh, I don't want to wear, old clothes. Or I think they're doing it because they genuinely can't afford to buy a lot of things. They're just buying what they can wear, new to make themselves feel a bit better. But I do kind of agree. The whining thing is annoying, but I think ultimately we have to disincentivize it. And talking about morally and ethically, in my personal opinion, is not going to change a damn thing with this, because people aren't buying clothes ethically and morally. Most of them aren't. The middle class are, but the lower classes are buying them because that's what they can afford, because they can get that one thing new. And that's speaking for somebody who was poor for a very long time.
All right, Fergal O'Kanager, who shops and buys what you make?
Yeah, Colin, good afternoon from the Dingle Peninsula. Yeah, my wife and I run a business called Lily Mays, and we turn old towels into beachwear. And you put a call out just before the break asking what's the alternative to buying new or selling, or buying new or buying secondhand. And my attitude is just stop buying stuff. And that's the whole ethos of my argument, is that we have enough stuff already, just stop buying new stuff. It's not about
may be enough stuff in the world, but what if there's a family with smaller children who are growing rapidly who need to be kept clothed? They can't stop buying stuff, can they?
No, and I absolutely get that, but we're looking, when it comes to fast fashion is not about the family you've just described that need clothes to put on their kids. Fast fashion is about the generation, and we're all part of it in our own way, that are going out buying vast amounts of stuff that we do not need. We're buying, and the thrust of your show is about fast fashion. Like, fast fashion is it is now single-handedly the second biggest global polluter. In fact, there is an argument to suggest it's even the biggest polluter in the world after oil and gas. Because we're constantly, we have this constant need to buy more stuff all of the time. If people would only stop buying new stuff when we don't need to buy new stuff, we would cut the problem in half. Unfortunately, we tend not to do that. We tend to need some form of leadership at government level to come in and force us to do it. For example, Eamon Ryan, you know, I was really excited, Colm, about 3 years ago when the current government put a Green minister in as the Minister for Finance. I was then even more excited when Minister of the Environment. I was even more excited when the Minister of the Environment appointed a junior minister to look at the circular economy. And I thought, at last, we're beginning to see something happening in this whole area.
All right. Well, we're going to hear from somebody in a minute who's a one-woman circular economy. Mary, that's after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
51551 for your text or email joe@rte.ie. Mary Farrell, have you ever seen anything you couldn't recycle?
Well, not really. I'm quite adaptable. I can recycle most things.
Right. So talk us through the house. What have you got in there that isn't recycled and what have you got that is? Tell us the highlights of your recycled stuff.
Some of the stuff I buy new, but some of the stuff I have is recycled. For instance, the curtains on the window, they're all recycled curtain fabric and rejuvenated.
All right, so did you buy curtains from somewhere else and then resize them for your own windows?
Well, actually, I didn't buy them. I got them for nothing. And I washed them and I laundered them and I did a job on them and they're perfect.
And where did you get them?
Well, a person gave them to me and I washed them and I cleaned them up and I relined them and they're perfect on the window.
And what else do you have in your bag of stuff for repairing clothes and the like?
Well, I recycle zips, I recycle cushion fillers, I recycle cushion fabric, I recycle everything.
And do you make your own cushion filler?
Yeah, I do.
And what do you fill a cushion with so that it's not lumpy?
Polyester filling.
And where do you get it from? Cushions that are on the way out?
Yeah, outdated cushions, and I tease it. I re-tease it, and I put it into new fillers.
And do you have bags of stuff around the house for meeting?
Well, unfortunately, there is a lot of bags. That's the problem. when you can do stuff like that, yeah.
You're a bit of a hoarder, are you?
Well, I do use it. It's stuff I will use, and I do use it from time to time.
And do you make stuff for other people? Is Mary Farrell the go-to woman for a set of recycled cushions?
I don't sew for other people, no, I don't.
Just yourself?
You know.
And do you have a sewing machine?
I have, actually. I have three of them.
So how much would you say a sewing machine would save you every year in terms of repairing and resizing clothes jobs you do?
Oh, yes. I also have to repair all my own clothes as well. That's a must because I have to do repairs on all my own clothes as well, yeah.
And are you good at the hidden repairs? You know, sometimes... Or are you happy enough just patching the clothes?
I'm very good in alterations, yeah.
Right. And what do you call it? The wonder web, the stuff for taking up clothes. Do you sew it or do you use iron-on wonder web stuff?
No, I do a hand hem. I actually use thread, yeah.
And do you ever throw out clothes or do you keep them aside just in case you need them to repair other clothes?
Well, what I do is I keep stuff I can reuse onto something else.
So before you throw out a pair of clothes, you'll take the zips and buttons off it, will you?
Everything is stripped.
And what about the buttons on jeans, those ones that kind of clip into place? They look like they've been stuck on with the machine. Can you do anything with them?
No, they're no good. No, they're no use.
Just shirt buttons that are sewn on?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And so do you strip a shirt or a blouse of buttons before you throw it out to the recycling?
Well, I take the buttons off them. Yeah, I take the buttons off and I discard the rest.
And how do you keep track of all the buttons? I mean, do you have little boxes around the house with different...
Well, I have a big box of buttons, to be honest.
And are they all mixed in together or have you separated them out by size?
I have them separated, small and big, you know.
And how big of a box are you talking?
Oh, a jar, a kind of a plastic jar, a big jar, you know.
And you don't have any issue anyway laying hand on the button or the zip that you want when you... when you need it.
Oh, yeah, I recycle zips out of discarded travel bags, sleeping bags, anything I can get.
And would you be fussy about matching colours? I mean, if you had a purple zip, would you mind putting it on a pair of orange trousers or vice versa?
Well, I don't really have that problem because I don't have orange. And most of the zips are black anyway. They're black, or, you know.
So, but you're not really too concerned whether the zip matches the rest of the trousers. It wouldn't really be visible anyway, would it?
Well, even if it's black, even if it's a dark zip, I'd put it in, I'll use it.
And what about buttons? Do they all have to match if you're putting them on a blouse, or are you concerned about that?
No, well, as long as they're all the same. If white buttons, you can't go wrong with white, maybe.
And are you wearing recycled clothes at the moment?
Well, now I'm wearing very recycled. My trousers are full of paint at the minute.
Full of paint? You're doing a paint job around the house.
They're working trousers.
And you're painting around the house at the moment, are you?
Well, not at the moment, but I was painting, yeah.
Right, so you had a pair of recycled trousers on hand to put on to do the painting. But day to day...
They're recycled as well.
So on a typical day, what are you talking? When you reach for the wardrobe, are you pulling out all recycled clothes?
Well, some of them are new now, and some of them are new, but a lot of them I have a denim jacket, and it's 20 years old, and it's perfect.
And do you have, do you buy second-hand and then repair the second-hand stuff? I mean, how long could you keep a garment going for? You have the 20-year-old denim jacket, but is that the longest item of clothing you've had there, or do you have anything older than that?
That's the oldest jacket I have, is 20 years.
And if you need something else, where do you buy it?
Well, I think I have that much clothes at the minute. I don't need anything else, to be honest. I have plenty of clothes, you know.
When was the last time you bought something new, do you think?
Well, in Dunn's last week, I treated myself, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What did you buy?
A top.
Right. Just caught your eye, did it? So you can see the attraction of buying new stuff. There was something in you. I wanted something new at that point anyway.
Well, it was fitting me perfect, and I hadn't much alteration to do in it, so I just bought it.
Right, and if you were going to some kind of an occasion, what would you do? Would you buy something new, or do you have a...
No, I wouldn't. I'd wear something I already had in the house. No.
Philip...
I'd wear something...
Philip, you're of an interest in antiques. Does that apply to... Is it just furniture and paintings, or is there a clothing line for antiques as well?
Well, I'd be honest with you, I'd wear them. I'd wear certain ones if I could get them. But no, I was reminded of a story that came into my head. I was selling, one time I was selling, about 10 years ago, I was selling English Cornell's kit bag from the First World War. Now, I forget the name that was on it, but it was a leather hand-sewn kit bag with his name embossed in gold writing. And I put it up for sale, and a fella came to buy it, and he came up to the house. And he didn't wear new clothes, he didn't wear second-hand clothes. He only wore clothes about 100 years old. Now, he was so striking in appearance that the first thing I asked him about, I forgot all about what I was selling or anything. First thing I asked about, we probably talked for 20 minutes about different things in relation to that. But the clothes he wore were from 100 years ago. And
where did he get
the shoes
them?
I cannot tell you. I can only imagine he was paying a premium for them. But he was totally eccentric. No, very, very knowledgeable chap. Very articulate, very knowledgeable chap as well. And takes all sorts.
And what about the shoes? The shoes were genuine antiques as well, were they?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've been in Collins Barracks. I've been in Collins Barracks a number of times looking at the thing about... People go to the museum to look at things. People like me go to the museum and want to own them. That's just the difference. Everything about the clothes, you think you were looking at, if he was to stand still, you think you were looking at a mannequin out of a museum.
So somebody must have hung on to those clothes long enough for him to be able to pick them up at a premium in some kind of a vintage shop. Somebody was obviously not throwing those
100%.
Clothes out.
Absolutely, but who does it? Like, I'd have an interest in antiques, I have done for more than 30 years, but seldom. I have seen, but it necessarily wouldn't be for me, if you know what I'm saying. I only look for things that I like myself. That's But
and what was he wearing? Like, if his clothes were from 100 years ago, you're dealing with no plastic buttons, probably no zippers. So was it like button-on braces, waistcoats, tweed?
Absolutely.
Pair of garters?
Yeah, absolutely. And a beautiful jacket on him. Absolutely beautiful jacket, except for... Except you'd probably see it in a kind of period drama on the television. You know, you wouldn't see it, but to see it actually for real.
And was it the genuine article, or was it just tailor-made to look like that?
Absolutely not tailor-made, 100%. I've seen enough things in my time to know something when it was right. Everything about him, he was so striking that everything about him was right. Everything, down to his shoes. I noticed everything.
And what about, did he have the starched collar, detachable collar with the studs in it and all?
No, he hadn't. No. He would have been very much styled himself as not upper class, say middle class, 1900. I pictured him as about 1900, middle class, not upper class. There was no pomp or any of that with him.
Right, Mary. Mary, your 20-year-old denim jacket is in the halfpenny place of that. It's practically brand new by comparison.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Right. Is there anyone else out there with an older denim jacket than Mary's that they're still wearing on a day-to-day basis? You can get in touch on 51551 or call in 0818715815, or indeed, if you're wearing vintage clothes, the like of what Philip was describing there, where do you get them and how old are they? We'll be back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818715815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Cullum O'Mungoyne here. Christine, as far as fast fashion goes, you think it's something that's mostly targeted at women and children, is it?
I think in general that men's clothes are produced to higher standards and better quality than women's clothes. And I think there are lots of different reasons for that. First, in terms of actual fashion shapes, patterns, styles, etc., men tend to wear more classic clothes. They're also generally quite demanding customers in terms of quality. So men, these are hugely generalisations, I understand that, but you know, you do see that men like to buy quality, wear quality, and for something to last. But also as well as that, with regards to men's clothing, there seems to be a huge amount of adjustability built in so that tailoring is easily done. Hems, there's enough fabric to turn up or down. You will see that waistbands are adjustable, and pockets are inserted in such a way that actually can be moved and changed and altered. You really don't see that in women's clothes. And also, in terms of the office environment, the work environment, it's really frowned upon for women to wear the same clothes all the time. You know, there is an expectation that women would change their outfits, change their clothes. There's lots of reasons for that. And, you know, we have to fight very hard against it. But men in the workplace, it is much more forgiving.
Same blue suit, different tie,
yeah,
different shirt.
Exactly, all year round. If you had four shirts or whatever, you'll see you through.
But how does that really pressure when you say women are expected or it's frowned on if they wear the same clothes? How does that manifest itself? How do women pick up on that?
I think that's a very complex conversation, all about a patriarchal society, which is way too long and complicated for now for this conversation. But it's simply that, you know, there's an element of ornamentation that is expected from women in the workplace, and the higher up in the corporate world you go, the worse that becomes. So, for instance, that is why there was such a huge change during COVID in terms of how people were dressing, because they could step out of those restrictive clothing and down off the high heels. You know, there's a lot of industries that would expect women to dress like that, expect women to be made up every day, expect women to be really, really highly groomed. And, you know, so we do have to fight hard against that, but that's kind of a bigger conversation.
With regard to actual
quality of women's clothing, it tends to be not as good unless you pay a lot of money. And also, the marketing is very much geared towards women and equally mothers who are the main shoppers for clothing for children. So, I mean, I have three grown-up children now, but I remember the torture of shopping for children's clothes, because you turn around and every week they've grown. And, you know, I did have very good friends and we swapped clothes a lot, but it's relentless when children are growing. And it's very hard to justify spending a lot of money on clothing
for
children.
So would you have some sympathy for the callers we heard earlier, or would you have been that person when your kids were younger to buy online?
Absolutely, and I have sympathy for all the arguments. I would have bought second-hand clothing as much as possible, and I still do sometimes, and my mother would have been very knowledgeable about clothing and tailoring. It was an interest she had. She was born in the 1920s. But
I have complete empathy, understanding and sympathy for all aspects of this argument, because every single part of the argument has validity. The problem is that, you know, it's really hard to actually overcome it. It's really hard to undo a lot of the damage that's already been done, and it's very hard to change habits. You know, generally speaking, people have too many things of everything. You know, I've spent the last year and a half really, really reducing down my household, and it's taken a lot of effort. It's taken a lot of time to sell things, to give things away, to try and find homes for things. But actually, it's much more manageable house to live in now. But it took a huge amount of time.
But do you still get bitten by the bug to buy new?
Oh, I do. Of course, I do. But I wouldn't buy clothing on a weekly basis or anything like that. Never would have done. I'd probably buy things coming into summer and maybe coming into winter. And generally, it might be 10 to 12 items max. But, you know, I'm in my early 50s. It's much easier for somebody of my age to not really care as much. But if you get into, if you're in your 30s and you've young children and you're, you know, it is a very hard-wearing time on clothes when you've young children. They tend to destroy your clothes. I do remember that myself. So it's very hard. But I do think there is a big gender discussion here with regards to clothing quality, how it's marketed, and what men consume versus what women consume.
What insecurities then do they play on to make women and, you know, by proxy, their children feel like they have to wear the latest, the newest all the time? How does that work on them?
Presentation, about how you present yourself in society as a successful person. And I think men are judged less on that in terms of their clothing. And men can get away with shabby clothing much more, and men in the workplace can get away with smart but repetitive clothing much more than women can.
And what about occasional wear? I mean, the culture of you can't wear the same thing twice to an occasion.
Oh, well, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
But
and
it does
really
exist, doesn't
women
it?
Women just stop that. Yeah, I think women just have to stop. It's just daft. The idea that you go to a wedding, you buy a dress and you can't wear the dress ever again, that's just ridiculous. And women have to look inside their own head about that.
All right. What about the fear of showing up in the same thing, which kind of goes against the fast fashion thing? That's where somebody has to spend more to make sure they're getting something that looks like a bespoke outfit.
Yeah, and I do remember being at a wedding years ago, very long time ago, probably nearly 30 years ago, and two people turned up in something almost identical, and it really did bother them. So
would it bother you?
I don't know, actually, because it's never happened to me. I'm not. I do like clothes, but I'm not sort of obsessed by them, and I don't know how I feel about it. I hope I would find it funny. But I'm not going to too many weddings. I have a lot of sympathy for people in their, you know, late 20s, all through their 30s and into their early 40s going to constant weddings. I'd say it's torture.
For more reasons possibly than just the clothes.
Yeah, exactly. But my original point was simply, you know, was this, to get back to it, which was that women's clothing tends to be much more flimsy, much fewer hem, you know, poor quality hemming, poor quality pocketing, all that kind of stuff, whereas men's clothing is made much better.
All right.
And, you know, if we actually brought up the standards of what women's clothing was made to, there'd be less consumption of it.
All right, Una Hughes, you've managed to retain clothing for most of your life. What's the oldest item of clothing in your wardrobe?
Golly, I suppose a jumper. I'm looking here. I was caught off the cuff. There was a shop called Sasha in Dundalk and Dublin. I'm from Dundalk. And when I was in my 20s, I would be 70 in November, I bought loads of sachets. Like, I still have them, a jumper and tops. I'm holding something from Long Island, America. What is it?
And
it's a nightdress.
And do you wear them, the stuff you had? I mean, you said...
I still wear the Sasha jumpers. Oh, a delightful red duffel coat. Remember, duffel coats were all the
sure.
And I look like Paddington Bear with toggles.
And do you still wear that duffel coat?
Yeah, I wear the duffel coat. And Indian shops were all the rage. So I have a tiny, I won't give it away because I still hope that someday I will be slim enough to wear it. And despite my age, I would still wear it. It's absolutely tiny. It's the delicate Indian cotton. And it is perfect. I'd say it's 50 years old.
And do you not have relatives who've tried to go through your wardrobes and pinch some of that stuff from other generations?
No.
Because it kind of goes in cycles, doesn't it? The stuff that you would have been wearing in your 20s has come back in at least twice or three times since then.
No, they all want rubbish.
Right.
You know, online stuff and Pennies and Dunnes and, or the other extreme, they spend loads of money in Brand Thomas. I mean, the fact that I've kept this, the quality, that shop, Sasha. Oh, also, my friend owned a boutique in Dundalk called Camelot. And in my 20s, I bought stuff there.
And do you still have any of that?
I still have those, a few of those.
Any
things.
Pairs of flares in there anywhere? I'm hazarding a guess of the era. Go on.
I still have, and they do fit, pale blue denim, bell bottoms, low waisted with fasteners up the side. And I keep them because I like dressing up for a fancy dress.
Right.
So
and a Jackie O dress, I believe.
Oh, Jackie O dress, yeah.
Sunglasses for the head to go with it?
I have sunglasses. Yeah, I'm a glasses freak. So sunglasses and, it's a pity I was caught off the hook.
Oh, no, not at all. I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We'll go to a couple of other people who've managed to hang on to stuff. Bernie, boots, over 40 years. Tom. What's special about the 41-year-old boots?
They are beautiful. I had them resold for the first time 3 weeks ago. It cost me £35.
Soles and heels or just soles?
Complete soles.
So where did you get them and why did you hang on to them?
In a shop that, a very good shop, Russell and Bromley, 41 years ago, and they're beautiful. They're a buttery, light yellow colour.
And did you get much wear out of them since? I mean, have they been in regular use since you bought them, or have they been up on a shelf? You love them so much, you'd be afraid to harm them on a wet day.
No, I've been wearing them for over 40 years. I've got a dress I bought in 1972 in the King's Road. Fabulous. I wore a dress to a wedding 4 or 5 years ago. I've had for 30 years. I loathe fast fashion. And nobody looks individual anymore.
All right, Kay Foley, Tommy Hilfiger denim jacket. How old is it?
26 years, Colm.
Bought when? Where did you buy it?
Bought here in Kilkenny City in Paul's department store. I don't know at the time, was I just expecting my son James or before it, but I bought this denim jacket and it's still going strong. Not as
was it love at first sight in Paul's department store when you saw this denim jacket? Was it love at first sight when you saw it on the peg?
Yeah. No, the fit. Now, I've had it altered, thankfully, a little bit smaller over the years, but I love it. It's faded. The fit is perfect for me, and I take it out for, I suppose, 6 to 8 months of the year. You know, with the Irish climate, I wouldn't wear it in the winter. But it owes me nothing. And at the time, it would have been dear, you know, Tommy Hilfiger back in the 90s. But the closest I can come to vintage was 1990. I went to a Mochran Afirma ball and wore my mother's taffeta dress from the early 60s.
How did that go down?
And that's the best I can offer anyway.
That was the height of the 60s revival with all the...
But I suppose they didn't hold on to stuff as much as we're being encouraged to do now, and we are doing or trying to do.
All right. Okay. We'll be back after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, we did put into the fashion retailer Shein for a statement, but we didn't get it while we were on air. So today, that's our lot. On sound was Mark McGrath, broadcast coordinator was Shane Galvin. Today's programme was produced by Sian O'Gorman. I'm Colm O'Mungine and Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.